SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. We think, and I got to check on that case. I think they've moved things. Do you listen to the online? I've got it on the phone. I got it on the computer, and I never use it. So we gotta find out, because I keep saying, you know, after years of saying 964, it just becomes rote, and it may not exist anymore, 964. So it's somewhere on SiriusXM online and at our website. Should have a great last day here in Florida before heading to California, and it'll include a cannon shell visit. Chuck Simon in studio. Not right this second. He would have already jumped in and talked over me at this point. No, Chuck is going to join us at 11. And looking forward to it. And of course, Chuck on the board of the Florida HBPA, and has become coming up on 2 years. And you know, Chuck has been really a valuable addition the Florida Horsemen's team, and anybody that follows Chuck, any of his platforms around the internet, you know how just insightful and I was going to say reasonable. Sometimes Chuck maybe viewed as unreasonable, but no. Chuck has got a terrific perspective. He's actually warned us on so many topics that have really come to pass. I mean, I know Chuck over 15 years, and you know, we started the stable, DT Stables, together and introduced you know, well over 100 plus people, more now, to the game, you know, through really the racing club concept. And Chuck did that, and Gary Siaka too, out of, you know, really out of pocket, you know, $500 buy-in and no bills, you know, so people could get a taste of the game. And you know, Chuck got that going and made it happen, and you know, we've continued in New York, particularly with Gary, and you know, we've had the horse here and there with Chuck since he, you know, gone to Pennsylvania and now down to Florida these last several years. But Chuck, you know, Chuck is very sharp and understands just all the, you know, all the nuance that sometimes is getting, you know, lost in these, you know, important but confusing and you know, fraught with, you know, with just kind of an overwhelming scenario, just so much, you know, so much information and you know, so many opinions to absorb and digest. But Chuck has had a consistent message that, you know, there were things that have been happening and, you know, a direction that the industry, you know, seems to have taken that it was only going to guarantee certain problems, and whether they're seen as out front and a, you know, a big part of, you know, the issues that, you know, that are dogging the game, they may not be the ones that we're talking about daily, but they're the ones that were the underpinnings a lot of times, and because they seemed tangential to what was going on, they didn't get a lot of attention. And some of the warnings, too, that Chuck, the flares that he tried to send up. So we'll let Chuck sound off, and it's valuable. I mean, you've read of some of the things that he's written, some things that that he wanted to get out there into the stakeholder and horse player world, basically, and they've been so well received, and Chuck's Chuck's taught me so much over the years, and look forward to spending the last day here this trip with Chuck in studio. Steve Alday will join us as well, 10:30, and we're going to let Dr. Alday discuss shockwave therapy, which is part of the analysis and the discussion immediately regarding Arms Runner. And he received treatments back in October and ran subsequently and trained subsequently, but clearly this falls under the net that, in fact, Dr. Alday last week, when we asked him, for kind of a general overview of vulnerable horses under a scenario of clusters of incidents, and he explained certain habits and practices that very well are legal and are accepted therapies, but the fact that they're needed are a red flag in and of themselves. So I want, for those of you that don't that don't necessarily know what it is and what its value is, what its dangers are, it's an area that has been more and more regulated and pushed further and further away from race day for horses. There was the experimentation that you had people using it in proximity to racing, and Steve will explain how it came about, what the perceived value was, and then the negatives that came to be known, and that's really part of the the dialogue that is going on. And we think back to the task force in New York and why it was so valuable, and why we keep referring to it, and frankly wondering why there isn't the same kind of effort being initiated in California. Help put everybody on the same page, put together the same kind of blue ribbon team that they did in New York, and go through and basically dial everything back and figure out exactly what contributed. I mean, we know all the various anecdotal elements and what triggered this, starting with everything I've we've talked about for a month. A management, tone-deaf management, and basically a vacuum created with the absence of the veteran racing director and the most respected track super in the game. That's your starting point. So from there, everything else that contributes, you have to do exactly what was done in New York. And you know, affect real changes that address the issue, as opposed to column B, the Chinese menu of reforms, quote unquote, that are, you know, being thrown out there to create havoc, and that's exactly what they've done, as opposed to coming at this with the same, you know, rational, you know, why is this happening, and how did it, you know, what were the factors, and how do we stop it? Instead, you know, you've got something that feels like it's just out of control and has no, you know, has no rational direction. Lots of sound and fury. And that's why, you know, there's been any number, I think, of very measured and highly appreciated, you know, presentations, including yesterday. What if you've been listening straight through from the replay, you have to be still in awe, frankly, of Nick Luck and his remarkable ability to lay out, you know, a series of thoughts that you know comprise a response to this situation, and in particular the from the animal welfare side of things. And I couldn't have been more, you know, more pleased to, you know, have been able to get Nick on, and in addition to the, you know, the Dubai recap, you know, he had tweeted on Saturday that I think Teresa Gennaro had tweeted a PETA soundbite or quote, and Nick riffed off of that, and so that's why I brought that up, and he was obviously, you could tell he had thought about it extensively, as he said, the last couple of weeks, and heard from so many people that appreciated Nick's cogent and salient points. Similarly, Jay Hovde, if you and I tweeted Jay's link, the link to Jay's column, he talks about the whip use, and he brought Trevor Denman to the table because Trevor Denman has been warning about it for 30 years and was viewed as a heretic when he first started talking about it, that it was a lightning rod, it would be a lightning rod. So there have been some, you know, sage prophets on a lot of these topics. But the Jay, you know, Jay's always got a calm and soothing way of delivering messages. I don't want to equate it to Mary Poppins. Although I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think their daughter, I think Julie and Jay's daughter may have been in Mary Poppins last summer. I think, as it happened. the rest of the morning, Brendan Walsh. Back from Dubai and the UAE Derby victory for Pliska Parfait. Want to hear from Brendan, Andy Serling, hour two. They'll draw the Wood Memorial card tomorrow, and you know the Wood is the Wood. It'll be great. The Bayshore is going to be tremendous. Mucho Mind Control. Call Paul. And now, much better for Baffert. Baffert is only sending one Desmond not coming. They'd both been considered for either or, the Bayshore and the Wood. And Baffert, after yesterday's workouts, all things go for game winner, but less happy, it seems, with Desmond. And so he's going to hold back with Desmond. He's not sure what he's going to do next, but much better will come for the sprint. And I'm wondering, because there's a plane, obviously, if that's going to help Jeff Bondi ship Sparkyville, because he wanted to come for the Bayshore. And if Sparkyville shows up, the Bayshore is a war. That'll be unbelievable. Still about, I think, nine for the Wood Memorial. And we also have to talk about, Ben Glass's terrific visit. And I hope a lot of you appreciated some of the backstory on maximum security. And the dam that they basically gave away and the stallion that they that they shipped off to Brazil. Take a quick break. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Yeah, love letter. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm gonna write what I want you to do to me in a letter.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write it for good, or for bad, or for worse, or for better.
Yeah, love letter.
I'm gonna write it for you so that you can be
we're back at the races. Coming up on 20 past, and I want to get in some of the results from the weekend that I know, certainly tomorrow, not so much tomorrow because they'll draw the big Saturday cards tomorrow for Santa Anita, Keeneland, and Aqueduct. But with Keeneland opening Thursday, They got this 8-race card on Thursday, which does kick off the 2-year-old racing season. And if you haven't looked yet at, I mean, I haven't looked at it closely, but if you haven't had a chance to look at the Keeneland opening day action, it's Keeneland. It's your usual Keeneland action. And the first 2-year-olds, the race starts with the 4.5 classics. And Wesley Ward, an institution when it comes to this, on the also eligible list. That's not right. He's got a Carpe Diem named Nayabeth that's been working right along. And Nayabeth was a Phasig fall yearling. And if she gets in, she'll be a handful. It's always fun because you get the first crop stallions debuting. So we'll keep an eye. It's 12 babies. You'll have to sort out the win earlies and so forth. But then it gets into allowances and all the usual. There's that new turf sprint stake is the feature. The Palisades Turf Sprint, 3-year-olds, 5.5, and you got a couple of familiar names, and because the ink isn't dry yet on Gladiator King's win photo from the Hutchison, unbelievable. He comes back on 2 weeks from the Hutchison and goes back to turf, and he was he ran well in the Texas Glitter back in February, so. Gladiator King part of this, but look outside. Cassie's got that Strike Silver, comes back in here for the 3-year-old debut, and Bulletin, the really nice City Zip for Todd Pletcher as well in here. Drew outside, so in fact, both of them did. Strike Silver the 11 and Bulletin the 12. Hawaiian Noises, who won the Animal Kingdom about a month ago at Turfway. Yes, I Am Free down on the inside for Cassie and Gary Barber. So this is fun. Nice addition. And there's made track allowance and turf allowance and second level turf allowance. Instilled Regard is going to stay. Chad's going to keep Instilled Regard on the turf after the very decent try in the Hollywood Derby. So another big 4-year-old name comes back. There's been one virtually every week, and mixed results. Core Beliefs, the good, and who else? Who else? There was Restoring Hope from Saturday, right? There's also the Distaff Handicap, which is an old race, the 7/8 for the fillies and mares at Aqueduct to kick off the Wood Memorial action. And this will go as the 8th on Friday, and the part of the carryover. We'll talk to Andy at start hour 2 to look at this, and Holiday Disguise in here for Linda Rice and good old Yorkie Poo Princess. What a nice job Eddie Barker has done with her. Catherine the Wise comes back after the romp in the La Verdad. She'll be tough. Come Dancing for Carlos Martin, who gave Marley's Freedom all she could handle last year in December. Dawn the Destroyer. This is really good. This is a good group in the Distaff. So things will get started. And since I'm talking about stakes during the week, later this afternoon at Will Rogers Downs, the Highland Ice. I couldn't let this go by. And there's actually that horse Welder that Teresa Lunek trains has been really good. 15 for 24. And comes out of a very good try in the Hot Springs. third, two lengths to Whitmore in there. And, you know, has kept really good company, you know, beats up on Oklahoma breds. And then forays into open company have been very good, including the David Vance win last September. Wings locked up in here, too, for Clinton Stewart. Speaking of Oklahoma, Oklahoma veterans. And, I mean, there's plenty of Oklahoma breds in here, five out of the six. John Ortiz shows up with Hooties with Midwest Justice, the midshipman gelding. So it's a six-horse field. It goes off at 6:15 Eastern. Will Rogers Downs. I had to give them a little push. A couple of the other things. I'll save the Aqueduct stuff for Andy, including that fun card. And you know, Nick tried to get through that pick four sequence with the Game Builder on Friday, and no good. It was tough, and obviously, the two-day carryover. I mean, Saturday delivered a couple of hard-to-find horses, including in the nightcap in that Caissa Electronica, Mr. Bricks. I will say one thing. Nick did say that watch out for the Claudio Gonzalez runners, and it took basically all day, but it was in the nightcap that one of the Gonzalez starters hit and paid like $22. So they had that, you know, claiming crown style starter series on Saturday, and yeah, it was, you know, you're a Gulfstream. It's tough to keep, you know, keep track of that. One race too we should include, and I haven't gone through the way the cross country. I mean, I know the cross country paid $1,700, almost $1,800. But I should mention that one of our favorite families in the game, the Kleins, and Richard and the Klein Racing Team, with Break Even in the Purple Martin on Saturday at Oaklawn with Colby Hernandez. So that was the sprint feature. We'll save the other stuff from Aqueduct for Andy, including that fun carryover we really enjoyed, and did okay. I want to slip in. Basically, I'm trying to get through the stacks of paper so that I can leave some of them and I can stop carrying them around. I had not had a chance to mention that the Carolina Cup, the first major stake of the jump season, was going to be Saturday, and at Camden. Of course, they started last week at Aiken and got things going, you know, with just some nice kind of, you know, maiden type and ratings races. But this was, you know, this was the Carolina Cup, and Jack Fisher picks up where he left off last year. Unbelievable. Ice It, your winner, I mean, Jack Fisher had a tremendous year last year, and Ice It, who finished his year with a win, this is a 7-year-old now, Tap It for Dash Stable, and this is a big win. Looking at last year's Carolina Cup, was sixth the last year against some of these, and is seemingly, you know, got better as the year went on. He was second to Boss Man that was in the Entenmann at Saratoga or Belmont, of course. And if I, that's Arch Kingsley's nice jumper. But Ice It with Jack Doyle gets the jump season off. Ricky Hendricks, Teodoro, won the Kershaw Plate and the Camden Plate to Richard Valentine. Winner, Massico, Pam Zine in the Thiel for Lily Boucher. Aggressive, Kate Nielsen for Mr. Naylor. That was in the Sport of Kingsbaden, and the Springdale, the Allowance. Jack won that too with Storm Team for Sheila Williams. So the jump season, starting to warm up, starting to get going. I wanted to make sure. I told you yesterday we'll save some of the California stuff for the next couple of days out there. There's some nice performances, and I certainly want to get to Mark Glatt, Richard Baltus. The Friday, you know, for those, it feels like it's so long ago already, the Friday racing at Gulfstream, Marconi, Todd Pletcher, and Bridlewood, Coolmore. We had talked to Todd about Marconi. But Dr. Edgar, congratulations to the Barkley Tag team, and went off slightly favored, Dr. Edgar. And this was after Scully had tabbed him. He got bet down. He got bet down to, it was 3-1. It was still $8. Hawkish, seasonal return. He was rallying, and he'll be obviously a lot tighter after this. But what was interesting is Dr. Edgar went off slightly below Hawkish. And then Dr. Mounty for Shug, he was running late. But Dr. Edgar took control. Julien Leparoux, and as always, whenever you talk about riders that are best known for coming from off the pace, invariably, when they're on a speed horse, we've said this a million times, when they're on a speed horse, they're really terrific. And Leparoux proves that out. So does Gent DeSormo. There's been anybody that, when they get on a speed horse, it makes sense. If you have a good clock in your head and know when to move to rally, well, then it does figure that you're just as effective knowing what you've got and meting it out on the front end. Sean Bridgman, another guy that out of this world on a front end horse, but not necessarily known for it. So Dr. Edgar, looking at Lucky Gelding, the 6-year-old, and that's a nice step forward. Carl Domino had Dr. Edgar when you go back before Carl retired, and this is for Eloise and Peter Canzone on the 6-year-old first stake win, and has gotten better and better and better as he's aged, as he's matured. And now here he is at 6. And breaks through, wins the Appleton. Really a nice win for Barkley, too. Good way for Barkley to end the winter season. Santa Monica, you saw. And it's funny, both of Chad's wins, Friday and Saturday, Santa Monica first on Friday, and then in the Pan American with Focus Group. I mean, they both were dead tight. And Santa Monica, Rad Ortiz, at 1-2. A decision that Icky Masho for Roger Atfield. Santa Monica, our unicorn stable, and Focus Group, of course, for Seth Klarman over Melmick. And Melmick, for people that used Melmick, I mean, I only used Melmick and Focus Group in the Rainbow ticket. And if Melmick wins that photograph, and it was unbelievably, harrowingly tight, if he wins that photograph, instead of paying just under $2,000, that pick six pays at least five times, you would think, at least. Maybe a little bit even more, because a horse like Focus Group on the smaller tickets, on budget tickets, was probably singled. On a lot of people, on the way they approached it. But boy, I bet two 9-1 shots, and that was a split decision. The way things turned out, that one, lose that photo, and I watched it with Grenig and Welsh, and actually, Andy Belfiore, too, was there, and everybody was like, oh, he won it. I said, I don't think so. His head was coming up. And, in the cycle, as they go all the way forward, people say, oh, he nailed him on the wire, and now the jock timed it. But you can't quote unquote, time it so perfectly that that you know the, your horse's head is absolutely you know at the perfect spot on the downward cycle. But it turned out Melnick was starting to come up, you know, for the next stride. So I'll have Tony. I know Tony's listening because he just texted me. So Tony will explain that when he joins us. But that was on Friday, and that was fun. Actually, the stakes on Friday, the Orchid, Santa Monica, and the Appleton, and the Skipaway, which led into Saturday. So there you go. Let's do this. We'll take the break. We'll come back, Brendan Walsh, to talk about a big victory at Maidan, Plus Que Parfait. Brendan, having spent time earlier in his career as an assistant and coming back to Dubai and winning, pretty special. And also, let's be honest, it's been a bit of a frustrating winter with Plus Que Parfait. Brendan, you know, Brendan blamed himself after the, you know, the first start of the season. Said that he undertrained him a little and you know, thought he was fitter than he was. And, you know, then a kind of a mystifyingly bad effort in the Southwest. So, we'll, was that the Risen Star? I forget. Brendan Walsh, though, starts it off then. Andy Serling, Dr. Stephen Allday, Chuck Simon live here, and I hope to get, I want to get to Jeremy as well for a little countdown to the crown. And I think John White, will save John White for live. I mean, we're going to be in California. And it, I hope some of you saw the retweet I circulated from John, his column last week, if you didn't see it, at ExpressBet, he gives you the introduction and the origins of the point system. And it's going to be a mad dash for points on the John White scoring system, I think. Back after this, Brendan Walsh.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and I am delighted to welcome and congratulate Brendan Walsh on the UAE Derby victory Saturday morning here and Saturday night there. It set off a pretty joyous celebration, and Brendan, congratulations.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thank you.
You could tell the people that you know from your early days in the game and your time there in Dubai, of course, years ago in Nad Al Sheba, and there were just so many people all over internationally that were delighted for you.
Yeah, no, we got an unbelievable response, Steve. Everybody was so good about it. I mean, I woke up on Sunday morning and I had like 238 messages on my phone or something like that. And that was after answering 50 or 60 the night before. So it was overwhelming, the support. And it was just a great few days. And, I just thank everybody, really. It was fantastic.
It feels too like, given the fact that you were planning to go with the Imperial Racing ownership team, being local, and with all the frustration really of the early winter, because he was giving you a hard time, the horse.
He was, listen. The Risen Star was the one, Steve. The LeConte I wasn't too put out about, because it was in January, and I backed off from after the Jockey Club, and I didn't plan on having him totally ready for the LeConte, and I thought he ran okay in the LeConte. He stumbled leaving the gate, and he lost a shoe and a couple more little bits and pieces, and I thought he ran okay. But then the Risen Star, we were kind of a little. We still haven't really come up with a solid excuse for him that day. Only that he got a little stuck down, inside. He came back out of it fine, and he didn't even, it didn't knock that much out of him. So, we said, because we had planned on it the whole time, we said, look, we'll ship him to Florida, because he was going to fly out of Miami anyway, and get the real sun on his back and try to, make it easier for him to acclimatize once he got to Dubai. And we said we'd work him, I think two or three times we might have worked him. And if he's working really good, then we'll go ahead with the plan. We didn't really have a whole lot to lose at that point. By bringing him out there, and his work when he got down to Florida, he just really blossomed. And when he got to Dubai, Steve, he was there about 4 or 5 days before I got out there, and I didn't think he could look better leaving here. But when I got out there, he just looked like he'd look better again. So it was one of them things where everything was going right, and And, you know, I just thought on the day, I wasn't even that nervous because I thought we just can't have this horse doing any better. And when you have them like that, I think it's just a question of, you know, them going out there and proving whether they're good enough then or not. You know, and thankfully it all worked out and he did.
That offers a bunch of different questions. I mean, we think of horses so often, Brendan, as cool weather animals, and certainly on the filly and mare side of things, I can remember Roger Atfield years ago explaining from his experience that when he's had fillies and mares in the summer and the heat, then they don't perform and they're out of sorts, and then as soon as the weather cools, they pop up. This is a little unusual to hear of a horse that actually appreciated clearly the warmer temperatures.
Yes, no, I guess, well, we didn't have the greatest winter in New Orleans weather.
No.
You know, even though, you know, he did some of his best running back in Kentucky last fall when it wouldn't have been exactly warm either, but, you know, we didn't, and I think, so I've seen it back the years, Steve, when I was in Godolphin and that, when you travel the horses too, they just thrive on a new environment, and maybe that was the key to, you know, bringing them down here and changing them, maybe a different track and just a different environment might have helped them. Maybe he just, you know, no disrespect to the fairgrounds, but maybe he just one of them horses. I've seen Honorable Julie go down to the fairgrounds and absolutely blossom down there. So, listen, it's horses for courses, and some of them just like certain things and some of them don't. It's like the fillies. Some of them hate the heat and some of them hate the cold, you know. So there's no real law to it, I think, you know.
Going into the race, let's talk about what transpired, once the gates flew, and you probably didn't know necessarily, you knew you were getting, you know, a very capable rider in Jose Ortiz. You didn't know that he was going to light the place up the way he did. You know, the win on Colfront was outstanding, the ride, and going out and nailing the leader in space on a track that typically plays to speed. And then what he turned in on Parfait was just, a thing of beauty.
Yeah, no, it was a masterful ride, Steve. You know, I loved when, you know, I hung out with Jose a little bit earlier in the week, and you know, it was a whole new environment for him, you know, riding against different riders and taking him out of his, I guess, his comfort zone, you could call it. But it didn't seem to faze him, and I loved that he rode the winner on Cold Front and got off to a good start, because when he came out to me before my race, I could see he was beaming with confidence, and I just basically left it to him, I thought he gave the horse just a masterful ride, just the whole way around there. He had him, he was a little further back than what I had thought. I thought he might be a little closer, but he said at no point was he worried at all. He said the horse was there every time he asked him to do anything in the race. He said he was there for him, and I think that's what you need to win these kind of races. And, you know, in the end, he when he got that gap and he went clear, you know, at the end, I think there was nobody going to get to him. It looked for a second like they might, but I think he was the best horse in the race. I don't think anybody else had any major excuses.
No, and it felt like Grey Magician, kind of idled late. As good a race as he ran, it felt like, you know, the distance was getting to him in the final 7,500 yards. And, other than that, diving to the inside was, first the inside outside and then back inside, Ortiz making every decision, the correct one, basically. So you could see that when he went down in, and did that concern you at all, having him have to dive inside, because some horses don't like it?
Yeah, I just, this horse will do anything, Steve. You know, he kind of, but, you know, I think the horse still, you know, I think he still learned an awful lot from the other night. You know, I think it was a different scenario for him again, and I could see it in a couple of situations you know, it's hard to notice, but I thought myself there was he was a little hesitant in a couple of different situations. But, you know, I think at the end when he did go inside, I think it was a question of wherever he was going to find a room, because I was thinking to myself, yeah, please find some room, please find some room, because it was the first time he got in the clear, and as soon as he got in the clear, he just sprouted wings, and then, you know, he took off, and that was it. But I think it was, you know, I think Jose just gave him a masterful ride. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of people that complimented the ride he gave both my horse and Cold Punch. You know, he really excelled himself on the big night.
Very much. In his first two rides, goes 2 for 2. And explain to everybody, you know, what it's like to go back to Dubai for you personally and win. And, you know, the opportunity even is special.
No, it was unbelievable, Steve. You know, I've dreamt about going back there for years. You know, I worked for Eddie Keneally. I was Eddie's assistant before I went out on my own. And, of course, Eddie won the sprint out there 1 year with Kelly's Landing. You know, I'd been to numerous World Cups when I was over there. And, I mean, the whole thing is just held in the highest regard. It's a huge night. And it's a huge night in European racing as well. The Euros are very, very focused on it. So it was nice to win in front of all them guys as well. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff you dream about. I mean, you know, Saturday night and Sunday morning, I was still thinking to myself, did it actually happen? So, and plus the fact that I've been there so long and worked for the Maxim family, they've just been the greatest people to work for down through the years. I mean, they've been huge supporters of not alone U.S. racing, but, I mean, massively in Europe and in Ireland as well. So, you know, it was great. The whole thing just came together.
Well, now you guys get to bring him back. How did, you know, I know you left not, you know, what, 24 hours later, but from what you could tell, how did he come out of it?
He came out of it good, Steve, as good as I could. You know, he was a little tired on Sunday. I went to see him Sunday evening before I went to the airport. And, you know, he was a little tired naturally, as they do the day after a hard race like that. But he wasn't, you know, he's back. I talked to Tom this morning that's over there with him, and he said he's back eating good now again, and he's drinking. And you know, he's very adaptable. He's a very laid-back horse, Steve. So I think if you were going to do this thing with any horse, he's the type of horse that you would do it. So we're going to take him back to the track tomorrow and get him back moving again. And he's due to fly out of there next Monday, I believe.
Very nice. And then you'll get him back to his own stall and look ahead. Talk about... You know, talk about next month and the Imperial team and how they're, you know, how they, you know, how delighted they were.
No, they were thrilled. I mean, they've been, you know, a lot of them guys, they spend a lot of their time in Dubai. And, you know, I talked to their racing manager on Sunday, and he said they've been trying to win a race on World Cup night for years now, and they hadn't managed to quite get it done.
Great.
So you could see it in them on Saturday. They were absolutely thrilled, as we all were, you know.
Just a terrific trip, and now a Derby assignment, and certainly he finished, and this is the Preakness distance, of course, 1 3/16, but you'll be the, you know, the runner in the Derby that will have gone the farthest. Talk a little bit about, you know, about looking ahead.
You know, I mean, if the race was 1 1/4 on Saturday night, Steve, I think he'd have won by daylight. You know, he's by a Dynaformer horse point of entry out of an awesome again mare. So, you know, he's got stamina top and bottom, and he gives you the indication that he's that type of horse that's going to... just going to get home and going to grind it out. So, you know, that I would not have any problems with at all. I, you know, I just want to get him back here and see that he's in good shape and the whole travel didn't take too much out of him. But I'm pretty confident that he can get back and come back in good shape. I like the idea that they give them a week out there before they bring him back and not not bring them back when they're jaded off of the race, you know, 2-3 days after. I think that's what they used to do years ago, and I think now it's a little more, you know, it's a little better for them. But, yeah, so, I mean, look, it's there, and the Derby pitcher looks like it's wide open at the moment, and he looks like he's a hard-knocking horse, and I think if he... I still think he's got a little improvement in him off of the other night. And, you know, if all that can come together, he obviously likes Churchill. I mean, he did nothing wrong there last year. So, yeah, we're excited, and I can't see why he wouldn't have some kind of a chance in the Derby. Definitely worth a try if everything is in good order.
Well, it feels like... Everything will be, and I think one of the other decisions to include here is the decision not to geld him, considering that he's a Ridgeling, and now with this kind of a win, who knows, as a platform, he was already great at stake place, the two, of course, in the Kentucky Jockey Club, and now he's got this win on his resume, and we'll go from there. Talk about the Ridgeling aspect, and has it been a problem at all, at any point, did it ever raise its head?
Not at all with him, Steve, and a lot of the time, in fact, nearly the majority of the time, it tends to be a problem with them horses. It can tend to affect them moving behind, and also their temperament. But it's amazing because a lot of them are pretty ornery horses, and he's not at all. You know, but it doesn't seem to bother his movement either. So right now, I think we're just going to leave him the way he is until, you know, if there's not a problem, why try and fix it?
Oh, no.
So, you know, we'll just leave him alone, and hopefully it doesn't interfere with him for now anyway. And it should, you know, if it is, that'll be fine with me.
Well, and the way he strides, and the way he looked on Saturday, it hasn't been. And I asked that because I talked about this with you a couple of months ago, and we ended up, you know, we've got Kid Chocolate, and he was absolutely being bothered, and we went ahead and gelded him, and they pulled one out of his stomach that was mm-hmm. was clearly a problem. And so, you know, when your horse underperforms, and he's got the, you know, he's got the crypt orchid issue, you start to go through that checklist, right? And
yeah, no, it's another excuse in the book, Steve. You know, maybe if he runs poorly down the line, you'll call on that one.
You'll pull that one out exactly. That my friend Aaron Yagoda, he's got a checklist that he's given to trainers. I should post it on Twitter. It's hysterical. He says for trainers that aren't too talkative, just fax me the check off the excuse, yeah, and fax it to me. That's well, now it's time for you to make an excuse, because I needed Proctor's Ledge. You killed us. That was brutal.
I know. But I was really pleased with her, Steve, to be honest. I thought she ran really well.
Yeah, she did.
Layoff. You know, Johnny did nothing wrong. I thought it was a good run off the layoff. She looked like she was going to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that filly is, you know, she's no slouch either, the filly that beat us. And she's been running all year. She was fit and everything. And she just, you know, I think Johnny thought he was going to get by her easy enough, but she didn't give in. It just cost us, but she lost nothing in the fees, and I think it'll set her up really nicely. You know, our plan was to run her the mile, a nice fast run mile. She obviously loves Gulfstream, and set her up for the Distaff Mile at Churchill on Derby Day. So, you know, it is a perfect setup, really. It would have been nice to have won it, but look, she ran well, and she showed that she's as good as, if not better than ever. So, you know, we'll go ahead with the plan, and hopefully it'll all come good at Churchill in May.
Absolutely, and for those that didn't notice the Florida Cup on Sunday at Tampa, it was a nice day of racing, and Extravagant Kid wins the the Zaxby's Sprint Steaks. Do you get chicken strips for life?
There was buckets waiting outside the barn for us the next morning.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So he ran great too. He really did. He's been a great servant to us since we claimed him last year, Steve. You know, that's his second stakes win now, and I don't think bar one time he hasn't run a bad race since we've had him. So he's been a great servant to us. So a long may it last with him as well. I'm sure there'll be another few nice little prizes along the way with him as well.
Well, and that gets us to packing up the operation and getting back to Kentucky. That includes opening day at Keeneland, where you've got Uncapped in the stake in this new Palisades Turf Sprint, and also Kettle Valley in the allowance race that goes right ahead of it.
They're both doing good. The horse in the sprint needs one to come out.
Right.
Because he's 15, so I'm hoping something comes out, because I think that's a nice race for him. He really ran well when I went to turf sprinting him in New Orleans. So I think he's a horse with a lot of upside to him. The wide draw is not ideal, but on the same hand sprinting, I don't think it's detrimental, especially on a fresh track. So I think he can give a good account of himself. And the filly, we ran her back here. She broke her maiden on grass last year at Ellis, and we had a little problem, and we had to miss the rest of the year with her. But she came back, and I ran her on grass, always thinking that she might be a little better on dirt. I just wanted to get a run into her before Keeneland and have her ready for Keeneland. So she's been working good on the dirt, Steve, so I'm pretty hopeful that she'll, of course, she drew the outside as well, but the draw gods weren't very good to me yesterday, but I think she's good enough that she might be able to overcome that.
What else can we look forward to when we talked last, thinking about Keeneland here the next couple of weeks, because you had some maiden winners that probably are due to come back.
Yeah, I had St. Denman at Gulfstream a couple of weeks ago. He's going to run back in a 1X, I think the 14th. He's done really well this year. He seems like a better horse than what he was. I've got Proctor's Ledger's sister, actually, Showett Bridge. I'm hoping to run her if we can get her in on this Saturday coming as well. And I've got Chaos Theory, a horse that won a little stake in the fairgrounds. He's gone to run in the Shaker Town on Saturday too. He's done really well. So I think through the whole meet we've got a nicely balanced team of horses, Steve, and I'm hoping that they can continue our recent run of form.
How about that Mission from L?
Yeah, she's going to run in the 1X on the 11th, I believe it is, mile in the 16th. So she seems like she they just had a couple of small issues the last day after coming out of the stake. She was a little bit disappointing, but I think we have them sorted out now. We just want to take a little step back rather than going back in stakes company again. So if she runs back to her maiden win, she should be tough enough in the 1X as well.
Nice. And you obviously, to run her in the Swedish Chant, you off the maiden win, you obviously got real confidence in her.
Yeah, I mean, she came back and she was working really good, Steve, but in hindsight, it's very hard when one goes out and wins first time out and then comes back to take on winners and then stakes company as well. It's a different story again, but, she was doing awfully well going into it, but she did come out with a couple of mainly back issues, but we gave her a little time, and I think we've got them sorted out now, but she's been working really well again, so, I would expect to see her be there or thereabouts when she runs back at Keeneland.
Very nice, and a couple of final questions, too. Brendan Walsh with us off of the UAE Derby win on Saturday. Our friend on Twitter, Michael Angelini, he's asking, do you have a commitment from Jose Ortiz for Derby?
Not really. I mean, we haven't even really thought about it. I know he's riding that nice horse of Baffert's this weekend coming. So, you know, I think we'll see how that goes. But to answer his question, you know, we haven't really even thought about it yet. I mean, it's very hard for these jocks to give you a commitment this far out. I guess they want to see how their hands play. But, yeah, I mean, if Jose's available, then we'd be more than happy for him to ride a horse back.
Well, we'll wait for that. And then, of course, there were some rumors. Is it true that you traded Stephen Skaggs for a tack box, and he's staying in Dubai?
I had to throw a few other things in with him to get the tack box, Steve. You know, that he wasn't quite going to get the deal accomplished. So, but I sweetened the deal up a bit, and I managed to get the tack box. So, yeah, he's still in Dubai, I believe.
You never know where he's going to turn up.
He's clocking camels out in the desert there, or something like that.
Could be. And boy, he was wandering around the video stream. I didn't know where he was going to. He was looking bewildered by the whole scene. It was great.
Yeah, I think it was great. No, it was great to have him out there and everybody out there. My whole team, Steve, that just. You know, between the guys that had the horse in the fairgrounds over the winter to the guys in Florida that had him here. You know, everybody's putting a great effort, and there's a real good feeling now around the place, which is fantastic. You know, like I say, it's not me at all. My name's on top of the thing, but it's all these guys' effort that's accomplished this. You know,
well, one of the most widely liked horsemen. In Kentucky and anywhere else that he turns up, and you could tell by the reaction to the win on Saturday at Maidan. And you can follow Brendan on Twitter, Bren P. Walsh. And Brendan, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, Churchill. It's not far away.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Best of luck going forward, and chances are we might talk to Brendan even before that because he'll have some stake runners. Let's take the top of the hour break. Andy Serling is next, Dr. Allday. We're going to get him in to explain what shockwave therapy is for those that don't know about it, coming under scrutiny again. It had its heyday, as it were, when it kind of bubbled to the surface as a panacea. For horses, then the realization that, you know, like anything, overuse and abuse, I want Steve to explain it to you so you understand. Back after this, Andy Serling from the New York Racing Association.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888. 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.